Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
Firstly, thank you very much, Anurag, for giving me opportunity to interview you for my channels.
Thanks, my pleasure.
So I've gone through your profile. I can see you have done a lot of work in your career and also right now. With the jobs that you're doing. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
That sounds good. I'll be happy to.
So before that, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Yes. So I'm Anurag Srivastava, and I work as a professor and chairperson of Computer Science Electrical Engineering Department at West Virginia University. I also have a joint appointment with Pacific Northwest National Lab, which is one of the Department of Energy National Lab. And I also have an adjunct professor appointment at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington.
You're from?
So I'm originally from India, but have been in the US for almost 23 years.
So can you tell a little bit about your background so that my audience will know?
Yeah, so I was born in a small village at in India at in UP, Uttar Pradesh, and then I went to school there in multiple different city, but all in Uttar Pradesh, India. And after graduating from Kanpur, I worked at for one of the projects from Sweden, which is called Swedis, funded by them, but it was a project of IIT Kanpur and multiple different institutions, including Asian Institute of Technology Thailand. I worked there for a few months, and then in IIT Kanpur for several months, or almost during the 2 year duration period. And then I came to Chicago for my PhD, which was mainly on electrical engineering and power system, power grid design, and how to make it more reliable and resilient. And then I, after completing my PhD, I joined in as a research faculty in Mississippi State University. I worked there for 5 years. Then I continued to Washington State University and, basically worked for there 11 years before joining West Virginia University as a department chair.
And what was your subject when you're doing a PhD?
Yeah, so my PhD topic was mainly on the power grid computational analysis, which was all about how do I make the power grid analysis or computing develop in such a way that we can assess that how stable power grid is in terms of different event when it's happening. And if power grid is all around us, if we have if you're living in a building or in house and work in office, then everything is supplied by most of the time it's supplied by one of the grid provider, grid operator, who are providing the power to us. So that energy is coming from the power grid, and a lot of event happens which impact the performance, and that's how we lose the power sometime. And so it should be stable, it should be reliable, it should be economical. And then during my PhD, I focused more on the stability, and that too on very specific kind of stability, which is about voltage. In India, we get 220 volt power at home, and here we get 110. So how do we make sure that voltage is stable, and even with the different kind of event that can happen into the power grid, because it's a really large system. So just like things fail, if you have a lot of component in power grid, also things fail. And we need to make sure that it's still reliable and still stable. So that was my focus in the power grid area during my PhD.
And how you got into computer science?
Yeah, so, you know, the first thing was like, even during my bachelor's, you know, BS degree, when we were, you know, when we take classes, we do take some classes, which, you know, everything is becoming, was becoming digital at that time. Computer was, and then I'm talking about like 24 years before. So, you know, of course, computer was introduced, and it doesn't matter that what kind of engineering degree you are pursuing, there will be some, you know, some kind of classes which will get you into computer science, at least in computer or computing and coding, right? And it's interesting because even when I was in class seventh, you know, grade seven, and I was in Allahabad, and there used to be a, you know, what is called, it's more like for development of kits. There's a, you know, there's an organization there, which is, you know, related to and started by past Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru. And so when I was in class grade, you know, seventh, of course, the computer was not there in the school that I used to go, but it was there, and that was my first exposure to, you know, computing and computers, you know, computers. And I started, you know, liking coding, and that was long back, but I developed code for, you know, there's one game called Ludo. So I developed that code long back, you know, when I was like in grade seven, and that code, that game was actually sold to one of the developer who makes game. And so that was my first exposure. And, you know, so I always used to like coding and using that to solve problems. And so doesn't matter that it was my, you know, degree for, you know, basically BS degree or master's degree. We have to use coding to solve a problem in another engineering domain. But the coding was kind of integrated into in engineering. So, and then, you know, that same coding becomes machine learning, and then same coding becomes a problem or vulnerability, because it's, you know, software has vulnerability, and that comes with the cybersecurity problem. So, so I was familiar with all these terms, and then keep learning about, you know, beyond coding. I mean, so, you know, computer science, different term, which we already learned as a part of electrical engineering. You have to take a computer engineering courses about what's inside computer. How do you, how does microprocessor work, and you know, different component. And when I got into Chicago to start my PhD, you know, my advisor told that, well, here are the different component. You have to put your computer yourself. So we have to basically connect all the, you know, component on motherboard and make the computer work with, you know, and we did. And it took time, but we did. And then, of course, we have to code to solve a problem of power grid reliability and stability. But that coding was, you know, helped me because I had a background in that. And then we continued, you know, after PhD, I continued as a, you know, faculty in Mississippi State, and then Washington State. And a lot of my colleague, because I joined a department which is, you know, joint department between computer science and electrical engineering and computer engineering. So I worked there, and, you know, a lot of my colleague, like next to my office, was in computer science. And that resulted into a lot of collaborative projects together, research projects together. And that's how I keep getting more and more exposure to, you know, computer science area, and my background and my interest in the past, you know, and learning, of course, helped to understand them and learn more about it. And then I started teaching with them some computer science courses, like cybersecurity of the electric grid was one of the course that we taught together. And that also became a first textbook in that area that I wrote with my colleague. So, you know, I think the world is becoming digital, and it doesn't matter that in what area you are, you have to use computer, and then based on your interest and how much you want to know about that, how this work and what is needed to make it a better, either it's a cybersecurity problem or solving a machine learning problem, or designing a new computing system which is more about computer engineering, you have the opportunity to learn and contribute towards.
And you as a chair person, and also you as a faculty professor, so how is this role? Right now you are into three different roles. You are working also as a scientist, so completely
yeah.
Three different roles. So how is that? And you are also, I can understand you are teaching different subjects. So how you are able to be this diverse?
Yeah, so basically as a department chair, I have to manage the department, which is basically comes with the students and then faculty. And because that's what I was doing before becoming department chair, so it makes more ability to manage them, because that's what I was doing, right? So I saw a quote somewhere that if you're a manager and if you're coming from a domain that domain knowledge, which means in this case it's being a professor yourself, you can do a better job of managing professors, right? And then basically working with them. And so they're still colleague, but because I know them and I have worked like them, so I understand them better to get the department going and make our students more successful in what were they want to do, right? As a professor, your job is basically to, of course, teach, students, but also do research. And that depends on the university that where we are in, like West Virginia University is R1 University, which means like high research intensive. And so that Washington State University is also R1 and high research active university. So at both the places, you have to do research as part of your professor role. And so that automatically comes with ability to work as a scientist, because if you're doing research, then you're applying your fundamental theory and for certain applied or depending upon that, what is your focus. So you already are, you have to have a PhD degree and you have to have enough experience to contribute towards research. And that's what scientists do. So in PNL, as a professor, the one thing that you get is every few years, which is typically 6 years, you can get what is called professional leave or sabbatical. So I use that time to work at multiple different organizations, and Pacific Northwest National Lab was one of them, because they were not too far in Washington. They were in the same state. And there, I really like that, working there and the type of problem they are solving. And that resulted into my joint appointment at the National Lab, and which I continued since then. That was not a long back, but like 6 years before. So all these are complementary roles, and now as a department chair, I teach less because I have to manage the department and also do some research.
And being a research scientist and working on a subject is completely different from teaching students what you have already learned. So how is this, how do you enjoy these different roles?
Yeah, so in fact, when you're teaching students, the one thing that you can do a better job of, depending upon that what, you're teaching young student, who are just like a freshman in their BS degree program, or you're teaching graduate students who are already have done BS and they're doing masters or they're doing PhD. So the teaching each of them if you are updated with the new technology and new advancement in that area that you're going to teach, you'll probably do a better job in telling them that, you know, if you learn this, what will happen. So in other ways, it's kind of related. Like, so teaching, which is already done, you're absolutely right. But if I also teach that, you know, this is what, you know, you have to know it because this is fundamental and written in the book and known knowledge. But if you know this, this is what you can invent, or this is what you can contribute towards making a solving a new problem. Then they will see that the reason for, you know, like a lot of time they might not know that why I'm studying this topic. But if someone is doing research, that's one advantage that you can have, that being more updated about those topics and telling them that this is how you use it. And this is how you personally have done it. And this is how other scientists are doing it. This is how other professionals are doing it. So, you know, in some way we can relate these two things together to get this diverse job done.
Do you remember how was your studies how was your experience before 23 years when you was in India? Do you still remember?
Yes, I do. And, you know, in fact, the student phase is something that you never forget. And because at that time, you, of course, have a narrow focused goal. You know, you're not, and some students are both very mature and some are not. So, you know, I was somewhere in between. And sometimes we take classes, you know, which we don't know that why we are learning this and how does it relate to the overall goal of the degree program and what it will enable me to do. Of course, later, after graduation, and you start working for industry, or you start working for like me, which is, and I did work in industry before joining academia. You know, then we realize that, okay, you know, what were we learned as a freshman or as a, you know, second year student, which is, you know, we call it, sophomore year or third year and final year. In fact, the curriculum is designed with some thoughts, right? So you have more labs in the beginning, and then you have to do more towards designing kind of work in engineering. So depending on the degree program, the curriculum is well thought and designed. But sometimes we don't learn, you know, we know that what we need to learn, but we don't know why we are learning. And that part becomes clear sometime much after, which can be done better job, you know, whoever is teaching, if they can tell right away.
And can you share your experience as a professor? You might have seen a lot of students, you know, teaching and asking, you know, getting questions from them, coming from different countries and having different kind of questioning. So how was that experience when you was a professor and teaching them about the subject? You are into electrical engineering, also you are into computer science and engineering. So how was that total experience as a being in the teaching profession?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that teaching profession is something that that I'm proud of. The reason is that I see students, you know, when they come in the class and then by the time they end, and then they keep in touch after graduation, and often, you know, they will send me card or they will send me email that, you know, whatever I learned in your class is now helping me to get my job done in industry is always very rewarding, right? So basically I'm helping very closely in someone professional development. So that's very rewarding part. And the thing is that, you know, in a teaching job, you're always young because you're surrounded by young students who are, you know, of course, some of them are very, very motivated and, you know, brilliant mind. Some of them are, you know, doing things because they have a goal in mind. So the different kind of students with a different perspective, and getting them all together on the same page so that they can learn in a similar environment and you know what the goal of the course is important, but for me it's all about perspective, you know, like how do you learn things, how do you solve problems, which is beyond that course that they are taking with me, right? So I do focus on that, and I think, you know, with my background and you know, it has shaped up that how do I teach compared to someone else, and someone with more, you know, there's also a field, research field, which is called engineering education. You know, someone who's working on that area, they will have different perspective and maybe better perspective that how to teach better way, because it's all about how do I apply scientific fundamental knowledge and make it to applied work, which is done in industry, you know, when new product come, like, you know, iPhone, laptop, and this is how it happened. But also in teaching, I mean, teaching is the same thing. Your product is slightly different. It's a student who is learning, but in the fundamental principle that we apply to teach, so the learning is maximum, is a process. So it's very similar concept, and how do we apply, and then just like in any product development cycle in industry, we try to bring diverse set of ideas together to make a new product. You know, here it's happened the same thing. We bring diverse set of faculty to design the curriculum to teach students in a best possible way. And students themselves, they make it very clear, like, you know, like some students will come and say that I did not learn this part or this happened, and they provide a lot of very useful input to, you know, to enable us to make a better learning environment for them.
And how you are able to be successful as a scientist, also as a professor, and also being in this long in an education field, what are those qualities that help you to be what you are today and teach people what you have learned all these years?
Yeah, so, you know, the first thing which is very important is staying motivated, our purpose in life, right? So my purpose has been very clear, making an impact. And that's applied in any field, right? And someone need to be successful, they need a reason that why they're doing that, and what keeps them, what makes them happy and excited to go to the work. So my motivation has been always driving me. And that motivation basically make you more professional, to be on time, to be hardworking, to be nice to, you know, because that's very important, that whoever you're working with, you have to be nice to them in terms of thinking good about them. And, you know, so all these four things basically help you to move forward, you know, knowing your purpose, why you're doing it, and then applying all these things to get that success or get that your motivation or goal, which is you know, hardworking, sincere, and keep staying motivated, you know, is important.
There are two persons in you. One is an engineer, and also one is an a people's person. So as a communicator. So engineering is a problem solving thing that you have, developed, you know, since you were in India and went to US and developed it, and you have done your, you know, PhD. So which is completely engineering, which needs a different kind of a thinking process. And when it comes to, you know, the profession called professor, you have to communicate and you have to tell what you have learned. So how these two people are contributing to you know, to the educational institution that you're working, and also for as a scientist that you're working for the laboratory?
Yeah, so yeah, I think this is a really, you know, good question, because when you, and that's why, you know, all these different experience make you a different person, right? So engineering problem solving is typically what we learn is more about that everything has to be converted into a mathematical problem and then solve applying the basic principle of mathematics and physics and chemistry, depending on that what kind of engineering it is, or sometime mechanical engineering will be looking at also physics. So applying these fundamental principle gives you solution, right? And also give us the boundary that some problem that we cannot solve it. And same thing with that fundamental science that you apply to solve a problem, that same fundamental science you need to become a scientist, because you're basically bringing your learning and become a long-term learner, because every problems kind of motivate and forces you to learn more. And the technology is changing and the world is changing, right? So if you stop learning more, we cannot solve the problem, which is the next, at least some of the problem we cannot solve, which will be the evolving problem, because it comes because of the new technology advancement, right? And then being a people person, the one thing is there that you don't have numbers to work with, but the problem solving skill still helps that. The reason is that and that's how the cognitive science work, because cognitive science is saying that this is how people think, this is how the brain work, right? So it's a science, and then there is another cognitive engineering, which is basically applying the engineering principle on how the brain works, right? So same problem, different perspective, and if it is done by the same person, then you will be applying all the principles that you've learned, either it's engineering or it's a science or problem solving skills or management skill, which is another important, not formally trained, at least I am not, but I have to train myself by taking some online courses and those kind of things for management skills. So these all come together, and also some of the skill get intermixed while solving the problem in different domains.
And which one is easy, engineering or being a people's person?
Yeah, so I would say engineering is much easier, because it's a number, and you're not working with diverse set of brains which can behave in their own way.
And all these years, there must be a constant change in the technology and in the society, in the world. So as an engineer, as a scientist, as a continuous learner, how you are able to adapt yourself to the constant change that is happening, and also what are those qualities that made you to be successful and be inspiration for a lot of people today?
Yeah, so I think the one thing is that, the same thing, that having a purpose, and if I want to keep making an impact on a student's life, then, I should be keep pace with their learning. And I should prepare them for the next phase of challenging world that they're going to work for, right? And because the technology is changing, world is changing, then I have to also try, there's so much and so fast changing. Just talk about AI. AI is changing really, really quick. So it's not even possible to learn everything. But being aware of, what are different things that is happening in this world comes with, again, first motivation that, you want to learn, and you want to learn for a purpose. And the second thing is that you cannot learn everything by yourself, so talk to experts who does that, right? And that's how we go to conferences, we go to find each and every opportunity to talk to experts who are around us, either as a colleague, because this department is full of experts in different areas, because they focus on, I focus on power grid, but they someone else is focusing on health science, and someone else, they're doctors. So everyone has develop their expertise and talking to them and discussing about things and learning about it changes your overall perspective and being more ready to this fast changing world.
And how you are able to manage being a leader for professors and also being the head and leader and being the torchbearer for the students? How you are able to be the good manager and get the result that you want?
Yeah, so you know, it's always a even a learning process for myself, because you know, once you are managing a team of, you know, like 10 people compared to this whole department, which is, you know, has hundreds of employees, if you count the student employee, it becomes more challenging, because then you cannot talk to each and every one every week, which is kind of required to understand them, right? So understanding each one of them is the first thing, right? So some of the problem or some of the challenges or some of the needs, I will be learning as they come to me and then trying to solve that, you know, one by one. So being updated and organizing events and being at least opening the opportunity for them to talk about their problem, that's the first thing. Second is that, you know, once I find about the problem, then being committed to solve that in a designated time or reasonable amount of time is the second thing. And then third thing, being proactive, that if I talk to other department chair, which is managing another department in the nation, then I know that this problem might come. So being proactive and having some of those proactive event or proactive policy implementation even before they come. So these three things typically help to manage all of these.
And how you'll create a curriculum which will work for everyone who has different levels of and different levels of education and different levels of knowledge and who came from different backgrounds, the students?
Yeah, so it's very challenging, and that's how we have been you know, trying to not only develop a curriculum but also prep courses, you know. So like if you're not ready for this curriculum, you know, there are some prep courses that you can take, which you can prepare yourself, or we collect a set of you know, free online courses which they can take to prepare themselves before starting the degree program. You know, so everything starting from you know, fundamental math, which is much needed in engineering and computer science both, we basically provide that, you know, working with university, different faculty and leadership. And then if we cannot teach ourselves those prep courses, then we try to find that online and prepare a list so that we can provide. And then once they're at the same level, then you start with a similar kind of curriculum and you know, and then also making this aware that this awareness of that there are diverse set of people in your class with a different background, and what are the good practice to follow while teaching to take care of each one of them, you know, so telling our faculty again and again, that's very important.
And tell me, you as a scientist, a constant learner, a person who is into self-education and self-taught. So what is that driving force which is making you to work on it and spend a lot of time in understanding the concepts?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I try, but I don't get that much of time as I used to get in the past, because it's with this management and leadership opportunity. But whenever I get, you know, reading books and watching another YouTube video which is talking about a new concept, has been, you know, my time to any extra or any leisurely time that I get, I invest in that, of course, other than family. And the main reason to learn is that, you know, like the same willingness to keep a pace with this fast changing world. At least in my area, right? At least in those areas which I have higher interest compared to other areas which I was never exposed to. So of course computer science is very, very fast changing thing, so just if I try to keep the pace in that, it'll take my all time, and that I need to select that where I want to focus. So AI and cybersecurity, and then anything which is applicable to the power grid which I work on, keeps me motivated that, like anything that comes in that area or any ways I can improve the impact on, it's not about students, but solving as an engineer, solving problem of the society, and as a scientist, making a new product, so the all these three passion come together. And basically, when I have a time, I have to invest in one of these to make it to become a better scientist, or become a better engineer, or become a better professor.
So from this long time, the time that you have spent in education and also on your career, so the day you started when you're as a student in India, studying a particular subject, today you become a teacher and being inspiration for a lot of people to study about that particular subject. You saw the change, the constant change that is happening in the technology, in the world, in human beings, and you saw that evolution. So how do you define it? Like, years ago, how it was and now, and what is the difference that you are observing?
Yeah, well, for me, it has been, it's more about awareness, right? So when we basically age, the biggest thing that changes is perspective to look things. As you gain more knowledge, as a student, you're focusing on your degree program, at that time, my focus was how do I do well in this course, right? Because that was the focus on that semester, and some of the tougher courses, how do you do at least to pass it, right? So everything from there, has changed now to how do I make society better? How do I make my student learn better? How do I make, as a professional development for my colleagues, because as a department chair, how do I make them to become more successful? So this whole perspective, should automatically change because you have a different role. But how much you're prepared for that has been depending upon so many different factors, right? Which is each position that you get over the time, and how do you take that to decide that what should be your next step? And over the years, as you get better and better perspective of this diverse, playing this diverse different kind of role, you become better in solving problems. And but one thing is sure, that the way technology is changing now and the way it used to change at that time, I think has been, now it has been much faster changing world compared to at that time. Now there could be two reasons, because I was not aware of, and now I'm more plugged in and aware of. But the perspective on how do I take these things in my life for the next step is very important to adjust and help others. And sometimes, when I look back, when I was a student, I was reading books, right, which is required for each courses. And when I come here, the same person who wrote that book become my colleague, right, because we will go to the same conference. And I'll be always very respectful and very, still surprised, this is the same person that I read when I was a student. And then all the way till I wrote my book myself, and then some students are reading that, so I got this full cycle, like reading books to meeting the authors and becoming author of book myself. But I know now with the much more broader perspective that how those students will behave if they're reading my book and they meet with me.
And as a leader, as a head of the institution, you are being the reason for the skill set development, and you are going to be the reason for the students that who are going to place in different businesses and different which belongs to different industries and different companies. So how do you train them, or how do you let them know how what is happening outside the institution?
Yeah, so you know, we do a lot of different things. So one thing is having a better relation with industry and bringing them, and even have them teach like a class in, you know, in to students. So the students know that, okay, this industry is looking for these things. So bringing industry where their students will be working, bringing, you know, industries also different kind, like there's a private industry, there's a government, and then there are some academia, and you know, so all these academia is something that we can always talk, but at least these industry they're not exposed to, and bringing them together, because industry also needs a well trained students with knowledge that they will solve the problem in that industry. So they already reached out to, you know, they try to reach out to basically like someone like a department chair, so that, or you know, other leader in academia, so that they can get a better hire for their next job that they have opening for. And you know, so one thing that we did is you know, we did industry day, where I invited a lot of these industry member to come and basically tell that, are our students ready to work for them, and because it's a diverse topic and diverse thinking of different industry, you know, they'll say different things, but our goal has been always to find the common thing that we can make our curriculum change, so the students are better prepared and the students are getting a better job and you know, basically contributing to society and industry, right? So that is one thing. And the second thing is that someone who are more interested to contribute towards, and especially the one who have graduated from here, you know, they are more devoted to the university and to the student. So they sponsor projects, so which means that they will tell the problem and they will help students to work on the same project. So they're again more exposed to industrial problem, and they're more exposed to industry person who will be helping them to solve problem. And then when they graduate, they're better prepared. Of course, just like any other university, we do job fairs, and you know, like hundreds of company will come and hire them. So those kind of things is going on. And the second thing is students club. So we have encouraged our students to develop their own club for different, you know, like if they want to work on AI, they want to work on cybersecurity, they want to work on radios. There are like a lot of different clubs which exist in computing, and we pair them with the industry who's showing interest, so they can directly talk to the industry person and invite them for their, you know, like what kind of work you do when you graduate from here, right? And so a lot of these events and bringing the students, industry, faculty, and the government all together in different kind of event make all of them do what they want to do.
Is it easy to be or become a scientist?
Well, if someone has motivation and willingness, then I would say it's easy, because you know, it's not about things being hard or easy. It's about someone's perspective, that how do they take the challenge. So some challenge will seem difficult because that person is not motivated and does not have a background in that. And it will become easy because someone has a background and motivated to solve it.
There are a collection of skills that you have, and the skill sets that you developed all these years being in different positions and doing different roles and being a constant learner. So how you are able to give that back to the students who are are willing to become you?
Yeah, so it's all about giving them opportunity. And like, if someone is in the class and they are showing interest for doing research, so basically they are told in the class that if you want to do research, come and talk to me, come and talk to another faculty. And then if we find that, the students want to do research in this area, which is my area, then of course they're welcome to work with me. If they're different area, then basically I work as a connector to another faculty, another industry, another opportunity, or which is like internship that they can get and do some kind of work. So that has been, of course, kind of inbuilt, like anyone who wants to do, and if they have opportunity, then they will go much further compared to if they don't get opportunity. So bringing opportunity from everywhere, from industry, from other faculty, and sharing them in the classes, I think is very, very important, because that's how it connects students. It's all about knowledge. If they don't have knowledge and opportunity, then they don't even know that they are good in that. So connecting them is important.
And as a professor, as an observer, what is your observation about technology, today's technology? It can be artificial intelligence or information technology that is changing humanity and that is making human things more easier. With the engineering background that you have, and what's your observation?
Yeah, so just like medicine, it comes with a side effect. So all the technology comes with a side effect. Some has more side effect and some has less, right? So AI is, each of these, what kind of AI? Also comes with some side effect, which is if AI can be used for good for the society, it can be also used by the bad people, to do things which was, they were not able to think, but they can now think with the help of AI to hurt the society. So ethical AI uses, and everyone is talking about that, how do I make sure that AI is only being used for good? And if it is being used by bad, then what do I do to find another solution for that, right? Which is typically called regulation, right? How do you regulate so it becomes a criminalized offense if someone is trying to use it for bad, right? But everyone has to agree that, so it's a lot of discussion. Everyone has to come together. But it's just like, I said that any technology that comes and as it's advancing, it is helping. There's no doubt about that, because, any technology, if it's getting attraction, it is going to either solve some problem, it is making life easy, it is making it more convenient, right? So then only it will survive. Otherwise, no one will be interested in those kind of technology. But it all comes with certain side effect. If it is becoming more computerized, more digital devices, it comes with cybersecurity problem. If it is becoming a iPhone, which is, of course, wonderful piece of innovation, it comes with a lot of people being more engaged with those phone compared to among themselves. So those are, again, societal problems. So everything comes with the advantage and disadvantage. We just need to find that what percentage those are, and if something, if any time the disadvantage and becomes more than advantage, then we have to find out, make a policy and discard it.
And today, because of technology, the world is interconnected, and these technology companies become global and doing businesses and influencing and impacting and creating change in humans' life, no matter which part they are from. So What suggestions or what advice is that you want to give or you would give to the technology leaders or the decision makers who are working on technology products and services?
Yeah, so it's all about knowledge and, you know, like perspective, right? So if we keep emphasizing that, you know, if you're developing a technology, of course, if anyone is developing a technology as a business, their goal is to make money, right? But at the same time, if we tell that, at least keep them informed and make a rules and regulations around that, how to make it fair, how to take it to disadvantaged community, how to make it, you know, fair use of and diverse use of this technology. Of course, they will not do that if it's going to result into a business loss, right? But if they're going to, if you develop a tech, something which will make them still make money, but not that much as they could have with, you know, so it's in an unethical way. So finding this balance is again developing a perspective in the leader. So if the all the leader, we can get this message that how to do things which will benefit you, but do it in ethical way, do it in fairness way, do it in thinking about this diversity, thinking about this different part of the world, and then do your things what you want to do. You know, the world will be definitely a much better place.
As a producer, as a creator, as an energy generator, your products are students today, and you are sending them to the world with the knowledge. So you have seen the world before 20 years, how it was. Now you are seeing. So what is going to be after 20 years with the knowledge that you are creating? And what is the impact that is going to be, and what is the change that is going to be on the planet? Are we going to go about the planet, you know, with the space technology, increasing our capacity and finding new ways of, you know, finding new ways of doing things through engineering skills? And are we going to expand our horizon?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we are already making some progress on that. Some are more far-fetched, which will take some more number of years, and some are here, right? I mean, either it's a new way to generate energy, you know, if we find a new materials, to all the way to find a new land in another world. You know, people have done that, even, you know, like USA, right? I mean, it was a new world for Europeans, right? So at that time, because we did not have the technology to fly, so it was definitely a new world. Now we have, you know, faster rockets which can take us. And there has been a private investment on that, you know, like taking people for fun in space. So of course, things are changing and will continue to change. How many years will it take to get to a certain advancement compared to another advancement, which is, you know, we are more closer to? That time will tell, but definitely things will continue to change. And, you know, someone who is trained on how to take the problem and solve it will be the one who will be making us keep moving forward. And someone who is also trained on that, how to do that in ethical and how to do that in a societal good way, will be the one who will be doing the technology with more advantage and less disadvantage.
And at last, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
Well, I saw one, and I think it's a really good way to take the message out from, you know, from one people to another one, and hopefully it will influence a lot of people and thinking good about the world, and, you know, so this is good work you're doing.
I have done master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. And right now I'm working as a DevOps engineer for a UK company remotely. And also a couple of companies from US being sponsored for this podcast. So that's my full-time job. So So apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the industry and who are creating change and being in different parts of the world, from working in different industries, coming from different backgrounds. More than 100 countries experts I have interviewed, and more than 750 interviews I have done in last 3 years. So as an observer, as an educator, as a professor, how this collection of knowledge is going to be helpful for me in coming days, and how I'm going to impact the world.
Yeah, so you're already doing that, right? I mean, by sharing the knowledge, and the new generation which is coming in, which you're part of that, but there is another next line of new generation, and because the world is becoming more digital information, so they will be hopefully watch it, and as we have more people getting benefits from these, it will basically propagate. So they will get the word out, and then there will be more likes on this. And that means that more people are saying that, okay, this one is more liked, so let's watch it. And that's how the knowledge propagates. And that's how people get influenced, their mind changes, and they do great things for the world.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
That'll be okay, yeah.
And
Sure.
also, can I put this and audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
That'll be fine, yes.
Great. Do you have a final message to the listener and the viewer who is watching and listening to you, no matter from which part of the planet they are watching and from which profession they belong to, or they can be a student or already a officer who is working. So do you have a final message to them?
Yeah, I'll just say that, to everyone who is, no matter what you're doing, always try to find your passion and your purpose in life.
Great. Thank you very much, sir, for giving me your valuable time and sharing some of your experience and answering to some of my questions.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks.